Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Bishnu Shom. The process of the vaccine being rolled out now across the country is picking up pace. More doses of both Covishield and Covaxin, which is the drug produced by Bharat Biotech, have now been distributed in various parts of the country. So the next stage of this huge battle against COVID is well upon us. We've got two fantastic guests on the program tonight. Dr. Vinod Paul, member of the Niti Aayog, he's the chairman of the National Expert Group on Vaccine Implementation for COVID, joins us in a few moments from now. And later on this program, we'll also be joined by Dr. Vijay Raghavan. He's the principal scientific advisor to the Prime Minister. But let me go across first to Dr. Paul. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. Now, Dr. Paul, ahead of this program, a lot of people tweeted us, wrote into us, wanted to get all sorts of details. So what I'm going to be asking you are not so much my questions, but questions which people want to know. So the first question which people have been asking in, where will the first doses be administered on the 16th?
Well, they'll be administered in across the country, in practically all the states and union territories.
And would this be, have you identified the first frontline workers as yet?
Yes, we have identified the first list of frontline, the whole list of frontline workers, and they have been staggered into a schedule based on the vaccine implementation sites. Yes, that work has been carried out, and obviously the first phase in terms of these groupings, etc., is all practically already. Today, 12th, is the last stage at which the firming up of the bigger list will be done. So we are ready. Yes, indeed.
Who's the first person going to be, sir?
I have no idea. But it's going to be across the country, so there'll be not one person, but perhaps many persons.
All right. Next question, sir. How many people will be inoculated every day starting on the 16th?
Well, the inaugural day is a warming up day, so let me just pull that away for a moment. But yes, in the first 15 days of January, we are hoping to have at least 3,000 vaccination sites, 3,000. And our plan is that each site covers 100 individuals, 100 beneficiaries. So that is the potential number that we are looking at. Going into January, this vaccine site number will be ramped up to 5,000 or more, definitely 5,000, but even more. And then, of course, further ramping up will take place as we move along. In the deep and the most intense phase of the first wave of immunization, there will be a multiple of this number several times in order to cover the 300 million, the 30 crore people that we want to cover in a reasonable period of time.
Dr. Paul, how and when will citizens with comorbidities be identified? How will all of these individuals, say somebody with diabetes, somebody who has a heart ailment, how is there a guarantee that these citizens will be in that first 30 crore?
Remember, how we are doing it is in the following manner. Firstly, when we are looking at individuals above the age of 50 years, that takes care of almost 70% of people with comorbidities. That's why the age criteria has been chosen. That's being very well received by other nations, in fact, that this is a very pragmatic approach to do so. So when you go by the age criteria, more than 70% of comorbidities are in a way covered. Then there is a group, of course, below 50 years who have comorbidities, and a very eminent committee of experts, almost 15, 18 experts, has looked into what criteria is to be used in different conditions, including cardiac, heart conditions, for example, liver, cancer, and so on, and kidney disease, diabetes. And based on that criteria and what the proof of sort in terms of clinical record should be available, a framework has been created, and we are now looking at how to convert that framework into practical way of doing so in consultation with the state governments. So this will be ready well in time. But remember, this effort is a phased effort like in any other country. So we are beginning in a certain way and we'll be gradually ramping it up.
Dr. Paul, when will the Cowin app be opened up to the public for registration after obviously you finish this initial phase?
Well, after a few days, because remember our focus right now.
Oh, as early as that. That's interesting. As early as that.
Yeah. Yeah. As early as a few days, indeed, in the sense that, you know, let's stabilize our program. We are into a very, deep activity, a large number of people. So we are beginning with, the healthcare workers, aiming at 1 crore people, then another 2 crore, the frontline workers. But as these dovetail into each other, there will be then a possibility, because we will have enough vaccine stockpile coming in, the additional waves will be created. So we want to stabilize the program quickly and then go into the third broad category of people. And that's our real interest in a way, because that is where the largest group of individuals will be vaccinated. And that is what is going to make the ultimate difference to the expectation that we have from this vaccine program in terms of its adverse effect to be ameliorated, and also the pandemic control objective by shooting down the chains of transmission.
So, Dr. Paul, a few months down the road, when I want to get a vaccine with my family, what would I need to do?
Well, you remember, I don't know whether you are above 50 or not.
No, sir, I'm not. But I'm getting there sooner than later, sadly.
All right, you will get, but then you please wait for other brethren and sisters who are more needy, because there is a prioritization, almost a must in this process. And all nations are following a prioritization process. And if you're healthy, you are below 50, you please wait and let those people, those citizens who need it more, in the spirit of a public health response, in this spirit of our societal responsibility, let other people be carried. Your turn will come. In the first 7 to 8 months, we are focused on the 30 crore people about which we have talked quite often, and we know who those people are, who are the most needy.
Okay.
Who are the most needy. Yes.
Dr. Paul, will Pfizer need to carry out trials in India?
Well, as of now, the norm is that anybody who wants to have vaccine marketed into India, a bridging study is done, because we have a diverse population in our country. Our genetic mix and our health parameters are not very similar to other nations in a way. So it has been a scientific decision and a scientific norm that anybody who wants to come into our country has to perform a bridging trial. And that is a necessity and a paradigm today. And yes, by going by that, this will be required as per today's system.
All right, sir. Next question. When will there be efficacy data on Covaxin or some of the other drugs which are coming online in our country?
Well, Covaxin trial, I believe, is going forward very robustly. The second dose has now been given, and there's now follow-up is being carried out in a systematic manner. My guess is that it will be February sometime, but I need to check more specifically.
All right, Dr. V.K. Paul, thank you so much for answering all of those questions from our viewers. Let's hope that this process goes ahead smoothly. I'm sure it will. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, it's an important day as the process of the vaccine rollout continues in India. Remember, the 16th of this month is going to be an all-important day when the process of inoculation actually starts. Ahead of that, there is a huge process which is underway to ensure that the drugs actually reach various parts of the country where they can be administered to those. And that takes a great deal of doing. Several questions also have been asked over the last many days on the vaccines themselves. We have a wonderful guest with us, Professor Vijay Raghavan, Principal Scientific Advisor to the Government of India, co-chair of the COVID-19 R&D Task Force, somebody who knows the key issues over here better than most. Lovely speaking to you, sir. First up, sir, do frontline workers have the option of saying no to any of the vaccines?
The vaccination program, which is being rolled out right now, is, as you know, for frontline workers and healthcare workers. The vaccination program is, you know, there's no problem in anyone saying that they don't want a vaccine. That's, of course, there. But a very strong communication program is on and needs to amplify from every one of us the importance of vaccination, particularly frontline workers and healthcare workers interact with a large part of the community. Protecting them protect others also, and this is very important.
Professor Vijayaraghavan, is there a scenario where one person can get both vaccines?
Sorry, that means get...
So an initial dose of one vaccine and a subsequent dose of another one. Is that at all possible? Is that something which is a concern?
The way the program is structured is that you will be logged on when you get one dose and you will get the other dose of the same vaccine. That's the way it is. In some countries, for example, in the UK, there are places where you can get one dose of one and one dose of the other. That's structured too in that manner. There is no problem in principle of doing that, but that's not the way our program is structured.
Okay. How soon, sir, before effectiveness data for Covaxin is published?
The phase 3 trials are on, and we expect to see those results coming in very soon. And, you know, the numbers of people who are infected in and have signs of the disease, in other words, in both the placebo and the vaccine arm, once it reaches a certain threshold, that total, we don't know which arm is which, then the trial will be unblinded and examined. So we should expect that in a matter of weeks or a monthish or so.
Sir, have both these vaccines been cleared for export? And if so, when? And the reason I ask that is because there is a huge demand, obviously, here in India as well. On the other hand, several countries have come to us and say and have said, please help us. So how is management of that going to work out?
You know, India is unusual in that we are a vaccine manufacturing country and do that at scale. It's, again, something which I'd like to reiterate. Many people have said that earlier, that, you know, two out of three vaccines which a child gets in a global immunization program are made in India. So India has been a major exporter of vaccines for a long time. And this is a very major responsibility which we have done. And we have continued to shoulder that during the pandemic. And that's because our manufacturing capability will ramp up to be able to serve us as well as serve the rest of the world. So, you know, I would say the first quarter of this year, going from now to, you know, March or so, will be a time of ramping up of manufacturing as well as ramping up of our, you know, immunization here. And this will be a period where demand, where supply may not match sufficiently demand, but there will still be enough to take care of multiple kinds of demands modestly. In the second quarter, we're likely to see that go up, the manufacturing go up substantially, so we wouldn't have these issues being discussed.
Professor Vijayaraghavan, why does one drug at the moment cost more than the other?
You know, these are not absolutely, you know, fixed numbers in terms of, you know, what the quantifiable inputs and outputs are. But what the companies have very correctly done is to give estimates about what their cost price is and, you know, what is a reasonable sum below that cost price for India. So it's a modest difference. You must... You know, I don't think one should analyze that beyond a certain level about what those differences are and why one is more or less. It could have been the other way around. It depends on manufacturing routes, the kinds of process you use, the kinds of scale-up, you know, context, the types of vaccine platforms. There are many, many parameters. And each of them will add and subtract to the differences.
Will the government renegotiate prices after the first 100 million doses?
What will happen is that very soon, as I said, in the second quarter, you're going to see the stockpiles growing substantially. And they're, you know, day by day that is growing. And again, that's something which is a matter which, you know, we are very fortunate to have such large-scale manufacturing and quality manufacturing. The second thing which will happen is these vaccines will go up in the approval process. Others will come in. There are multiple other vaccine manufacturers and vaccines at different stages over here. So all of this will change the supply substantially. And, you know, the demand, of course, is huge. And therefore, you know, we should wait to see what happens to see what the pricing is and so on for the larger population.
Will there be a
I should stress, by the way, that you know, one important role the government will play through the process, even as availability scales up, is to ensure that the pricing is fair. And that's something which the companies also have agreed. And that's something which the government will make sure that access and equity are not compromised.
By equity, what do you mean? Would they be in the same ballpark? Because at the moment, one drug is more expensive than the other. Covaxin is more expensive than Covishield. However, Bharat Biotech has given several which are free of charge in this first. So once you take that average, it's more or less the same. But going forward, once they step up their manufacture, once the government stocks more Covaxin, you would have one drug which is cheaper and one drug which is more expensive, or would that be regulated is my question.
I think this is very hypothetical because we are extrapolating linearly from the current demand and requirement.
I see.
That's going to be changing very rapidly in a dynamic situation as manufacturing ramps up. So the pricing, if anything, will become more accessible as we go along. It will be affordable. By equity, what I mean is that in our population, there are different, you know, sectors, some of whom can afford a price which is, you know, significant, and others who just cannot afford to pay for vaccines at all. So within this range, there will be access ensured so that, you know, no one who needs to be vaccinated is denied a vaccine.
So all of the questions I'm asking you are questions which people have actually been writing into us. So, you know, it's sort of formatted, but I think they're important. When can a citizen with comorbidities register for a dose? Any number of people have been wanting to know.
Of course, you know, again, right now we are looking at the healthcare workers and frontline workers. There will be, of course, amongst them, people also with comorbidities. And when we go into the larger priority groups, which are people over 50, there will be very large number of people who have various kinds of comorbidities. You will just have to state what your comorbidities are, and you will know whether you can get vaccinated. And indeed, for a very large range of comorbidities which are sort of relatively more prevalent, there will be no issue at all in being vaccinated. If there are some where you should not get vaccinated or have it under greater supervision, you will be told.
So, sir, the way this would work is through COWIN, the app. And therefore, if there is, for example, an individual, once this goes out into, senior citizens are allowed to actually access it, or those with comorbidities are allowed to access it, they can just spell out that they have a comorbidity. How does the government know that that is the truth?
So there will be multiple layers of cross-checking.
I see.
First of all, there will be a layer in which people have, you know, smartphones or feature phones and have OTP mechanisms of checking. They will get a registration, ID, which can be, they can use their other forms of registration, ranging from your PAN card or your, you know, similar to an election, all the other identification. And therefore, you know, one knows who the person is and what they're declaring. I think the focus really is not so much about how people will try to violate these kinds of things, but how they can be enabled. That's number one. There are also a large number of people who will not have feature phones, and there will be families in which, you know, people want to use their relatives' phones, for example, for registering and so on and so forth, because they don't have a phone others have. These are the kinds of mechanisms which have been addressed by the Health Ministry to ensure that anyone who is, you know, with these kinds of situations, not having access to the platform directly, also is verified and put in a manner which enables them. The approach is to enable those who need vaccination to get it, and not to, you know, look at it from a perspective of how people will, you know, violate the system. In
that,
some sense,
that's such an important point. That, you know, there's an element of trust between the government and people. So if
do
say that, look, I am unwell, I have comorbidities, a lot of people may not have their health records on them and yet may be acutely diabetic.
Absolutely.
So it's trust. The bottom line is trust.
And flexibility so that those kinds of matters that need to be addressed can be established. This, by the way, is not unusual. I mean, not unusual, it is standard in any vaccination program. In our childhood vaccination program, it is standard. You don't go and, you know, just vaccinate someone, but it's a context. You find out, you know, about the child, what the situation is and everything, and then vaccinate. So this is something which, you know, our healthcare system is used to. It is now has to scale it up in a manner which is, you know, enormous.
That's really interesting, sir. How much will the entire inoculation drive eventually cost? And I mean, I know the center will pay for a part of it, obviously, but will states also be asked to chip in?
You know, we have a range of programs ranging from complete payment of the vaccination by the central government, as you're seeing in this case, partnerships later on with other governments, partnerships with CSR and philanthropy and so on later on, insurance programs of various kinds. And very, very importantly, the way the scale of this is such that we are not going to see this as a market of a competition of high pricing. I mean, everyone all over the world realizes the key importance primarily of getting vaccines to everyone.
When will the drugs be commercially available? Because, for example, Serum has indicated that they can step up production massively. Bharat Biotech can probably do the same, because that's a great skill we have in this country, stepping up production. Therefore, if somebody, for example, corporates, were to go and say, we don't want to burden government doctors, as it is they're overburdened with this massive drive, we will pay at commercial rates, we will use our own doctors and inoculate our entire office, bringing down the burden on the system. What's wrong with that? And when can that happen?
No, not only nothing wrong, it's perfectly all right. As Dr. Vinod Paul has mentioned, that the 30 crore priority groups, which is, by the way, 300 million, again, which is enormous, that itself is a programmatic drive of the government. But remember, that he said will take 7 to 8 months. Right. And this is just, we're just starting. But remember, during that process, we are likely to move from emergency use authorization to full authorization also. And more vaccines are going to come in multiple strata. Therefore, you're going to see, as we go into full market licensure, the availability in the market also of scale, not only of these, and eventually of other vaccines which are manufactured. So this is going to be something which escalates very speedily as we move on. But I would also add that, you know, let's not jump into that situation, discuss that so much now. Right now, our focus should be on two points. One, making sure that these vaccination programs for frontline workers and healthcare workers gets done properly. And the second is tracking by viral genome sequencing and testing those sequence isolates in laboratories for new variants which are coming in. This is an important research program to applications, very directly linked. And these are very important for us to do on scale, because we shouldn't be complacent that the introduction of the vaccine program, the introduction is sufficient to quell this. To quell this, we must be continue to test and track and trace at this level, keeping in mind the important concerns which have been raised by the UK and South Africa variants. So we shouldn't let our guard down at all.
Let's just hope that as many people as possible get these vaccines. And of course, as we keep repeating on our programs, social distancing isn't going away, not in a hurry, and we need to be smart about it even after getting our doses. Thank you very much, sir. Pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.